Right now, let's get an update on the state of the economy, and we'll get a rundown of the new jobless claims report that came out today with senior economic analyst for Bankrate, Mark Hamrick. Mark, always great to talk to you, and let's start with that jobless claims report, which ticked up a bit from the week before.
Yeah, so this is the national number speaking to individuals who are filing new claims for unemployment benefits, and that number certainly substantially down from the peaks of the pandemic. But in the latest week, had a little uptick here, up 20,000 to 332,000. We were in the low 200,000s before the pandemic began. And we should note in the state of Florida, down by 400 to 6,800. And over the past couple of weeks, we've seen pretty substantial gains among the states where we saw increases in the state of Louisiana, where we know the tropical weather is really being having an impact. So I think the job market's continuing to heal. The unemployment rate at 5.2%. It was above 8% this time last year. But Delta variant has caused some cooling of the economic recovery. And so to the extent that we may have peaked in the South, may yet have peaked in the Mid-Atlantic and Northeast, we'll see. It's going to continue to take a toll on the economy until we can get past this. And obviously, the hope is we do.
The fact that the Delta variant is impacting different parts of the country at different times, how is that complicating the recovery? Is that having a broader, more overall impact on the U.S. economy?
Well, I mean, you know, as long as the pandemic is present, and obviously, you know, more than present over the last couple of months, you know, it takes a toll on the economy. And because the U.S. is so expansive and large, with, you know, essentially with varying climates and geographies as opposed to smaller nations in Europe, it tends to travel around the country. And because we haven't been successful in, you know, essentially universal vaccinations, continues to take a toll. So I think that if some of the health experts are right and that this is sort of the last of it, then I think that we can get on with the business that we thought was well underway, perhaps in June, for example. And we might get able then to get things like restaurant reservations, essentially measures of mobility that include airline travel and even automobile travel back into a recovery mode where we've had to backtrack on those here over the past couple of months.
What about the August retail sales report? What did we see from that in terms of how the retail industry is handling and dealing with this pandemic?
I would say that the retail sales report we got for August was substantially better than expected. We saw an increase in the headline number of a gain of 0.7%. If you strip out auto sales, up 1.8%. And you know, this is some welcome good news, and it's also consistent to some degree with some readings that we got from a couple of the regional Federal Reserve surveys, one for New York State, the other from Philadelphia, that showed a pretty good pop in activity recently as well. What's interesting, I think, about the retail sales reading is it really did seem to reflect kind of the stay-at-home businesses with online sales really popping, furniture sales up, and we're still restrained by the supply constraints. For example, automobiles and vehicle parts represented the biggest decline, down 3.6%, and without adequate supply of automobiles and other vehicles to sell, that's crimping the overall performance of the economy. Again, a supply chain constraint that doesn't look to be resolved anytime soon.
I'm joined by Mark Hamrick, senior economic analyst for Bankrate. How important has it been for the retail industry to expand their reach online as much as they have in recent years, even before the pandemic, but certainly since the beginning of the pandemic? How much has that helped retail stay afloat?
Well, it's not just important. It's critically needed, essentially, for the sustainability of the industry as a whole. And, you know, many large retailers that exist both online and in that traditional brick-and-mortar space have essentially moved forward their innovation and investment in that space by necessity. And obviously, when you have Amazon now employing more than 1 million people and still looking to hire, you know, that speaks to what it has been able to do. We just had an interesting outlook given to us from the U.S. Labor Department. It looks at job growth or changes in employment over the next 10 years. It looks for a decline in the traditional brick and mortar retail trade of 600,000 jobs over the next 10 years. So that is going to reflect this migration of the business. As consumers, I think broadly, we like it.
Yeah.
You know, but having this ability to do business when and where we can.
I know I do.
But there's gonna, and, you know, it's in some ways it saved us, right, during this difficult time. But that, you know, there's going to be pressures from that, whether it's the individuals who might otherwise be employed or lose their jobs in brick and mortar, as well as, you know, the commercial real estate issues where those entities are exiting those physical spaces. And that many of those spaces are either in the process of being repurposed, turned over into something else, or will be.
Anecdotally, just talking to some people that I know in my personal circle who work in retail, there's a lot of focus on businesses shifting more online, getting rid of some of those typical retail jobs that you would see at brick and mortar stores. But there also seems to be a move on the part of a lot of retail workers to get out of that industry, maybe in part because they see the writing on the wall down the road, but also I think because they just don't want to deal with the public anymore. Is that potentially part of this disruption that we're seeing in the job market too right now?
Well, as you know, Ryan, we did a survey not too long ago, Bankrate, that looked into the future of work. And, you know, while a majority of the public in the workforce said that they were going to search for jobs over the next 12 months, the number one thing they were looking for wasn't compensation. It was flexibility, either in hours worked or remote work. And I think that also speaks to the challenges for bars and restaurants, hotels, and live sports and entertainment, where some of the shift work is unforgiving. The pay is not generous. And so people are looking for more than just, you know, dollars going into bank accounts. They're looking into quality of life. I don't know. I think, you know, retail has sort of traditionally been maybe a little underloved in the sense of the pay that people in that sector are getting. And now that you're losing, at least for some companies, the prospect of job security, and there are obviously many retailers out there at some level doing quite well because, you know, they're in the right space.
Yeah.
Places like Lululemon or Nordstrom Rack being the discount or off-price piece of the department store operator. Those outlooks are fine, but, you know, if you have a graduate degree, you probably are not looking for a job in retail because it's not going to help you to have the income you want, perhaps the career trajectory, at least if it's a sort of frontline worker, and you might have some student loan debt you need to pay off as well.
Final question for you. You've got a new Bankrate survey that talks about what Americans regard as the top threats facing the economy over the next 6 months. What did you learn from that survey?
And this goes back to what we were talking about at the outset. Interestingly enough, Americans do basically cite the pandemic as the top threat facing the economy over the next half year, basically cited by 4 out of 10. That topped essentially their concerns about the political world by a 2-to-1 margin, the political environment in Washington cited by about 1 in 5. And not surprisingly, if one's own party is out of favor or out of power in Washington, that tends to generate the most concerns. The Republicans were more than represented in that space. And interestingly enough, despite the fact that inflation as an economic metric has been flaring for quite some time now, that came up as number 3. That was less often cited. And interestingly enough, less often cited by those who made less money, maybe because it's just hard to discern when one's really sort of, you know, swimming against the tide. But it is interesting. And I think that it gets back to the notion that our response to the pandemic broadly is key toward getting to a better place for the economy and personal finances.
Senior economic analyst for Bankrate, Mark Hamrick, with a update on the state of the economy for us. Mark, really appreciate the time. Always great to talk to you.
Always my pleasure. Thanks for having me, Ryan.